The Stack Overflow blog piece that cracked 217 points today. Developers are attached to tools because tools encode trust is one of those essays that feels obvious the moment you read the title and then reveals something genuinely subtle when you engage with the argument. The piece argues that switching costs in developer tooling aren't primarily about learning curves or feature gaps. They're about the trust that accumulates in a tool through years of it behaving predictably. When a tool does what you expect every time, you stop consciously thinking about it and it becomes cognitive infrastructure. Breaking that is deeply disorienting in a way that's hard to quantify.
Which explains several phenomena in developer culture that otherwise seem irrational. Why do developers fight so hard over text editor choices? Why does Vim still have a substantial user base in 2026? It's not that Vim has objectively better features than modern alternatives. It's that for a certain cohort, Vim has 30 years of verified predictability. Every interaction with it has been consistent. The trust is structural.
And this connects directly to the SwiftUI 7-year retrospective that's generating 186 comments today. The piece is titled, SwiftUI, A Story of Mediocrity, which is not pulling punches. And the author's central complaint from what the thread is discussing is not that SwiftUI's features are bad. It's that SwiftUI has behaved unpredictably. APIs deprecated, behaviors changed between OS versions, things that worked in one context broke in another. 7 years of inconsistency means 7 years of trust erosion.
From a business perspective, Apple's approach to SwiftUI reflects a tension that a lot of platform companies face. You want to ship new features to stay competitive and attract developers, but every breaking change or deprecation is a withdrawal from the trust account. Apple's bet seems to have been that developer loyalty to the Apple ecosystem would absorb the inconsistency. The 186 comment thread suggests that calculation has limits.
The Jane Street Bonsai U iLibrary entering this conversation is interesting timing. Bonsai scored 68 points, modest by front page standards. But Jane Street is a company that has an almost cult-like reputation in certain engineering circles for building exceptionally reliable, well-thought-out infrastructure. Their UI framework for OCaml uses an incremental computation model where UI updates are driven by a dependency graph rather than explicit state management. The reliability reputation of the source matters here. When Jane Street ships something, people assume it's been tested against adversarial conditions.
That's exactly the trust encoding point. Jane Street's tools carry a prior about quality before anyone has even used them, which is worth understanding if you're thinking about how to build developer trust in your own tools. Reputation is a trust loan against future verification.
Octane, the React-adjacent framework that scored 35 points today, it's positioning itself as React's programming model compiled, faces the opposite challenge. It's trying to earn trust from scratch against a framework that has a decade of trust accumulated. The technical pitch, from what the comments describe, is that you write code that looks like React, but it compiles to something with fundamentally different performance characteristics. No virtual DOM diffing at runtime, static analysis driving UI updates. Whether that's worth switching from React depends almost entirely on how much trust you have accumulated in your current React setup and how badly it's letting you down.
The SSH.place project is worth mentioning in this context. 125 points, 74 comments. It's a terminal-based creative community. You SSH into SSH.place, and you arrive in a kind of social space running in your terminal. The tool encodes a very specific kind of trust, the trust that comes from using a protocol that's 30 years old and has been battle-tested by essentially every serious infrastructure in the world. SSH is one of the most trusted protocols in existence. Building something playful and creative on top of it is a clever way to borrow that trust for something new.
And then there's the handwritten blogging platform, 118 points, 61 comments, which takes the trust question in a completely different direction. The platform allows you to post blog content in handwriting, actual scanned or photographed handwriting. The trust it encodes is the trust of the handwritten word. Permanence, effort, authenticity. It's almost an aesthetic rejection of the frictionless AI-generatable written word that we've been discussing all episode.
The timing is not coincidental. When text becomes trivially generatable, there's a natural market for signals of effort and authenticity. Handwriting is unforgeable in a meaningful sense, not cryptographically unforgeable, but socially unforgeable in a way that a perfectly typeset essay is not. Someone spent time with that.
DMARC is a quick but important one to flag here. 25 points, 6 comments, but the article's value is educational. The piece carefully delineates what DMARC actually protects against, primarily domain spoofing, where bad actors send email that appears to come from your domain, versus what it doesn't protect against, including lookalike domains, compromised legitimate accounts, and content-based phishing. The trust model for email authentication is genuinely complicated and widely misunderstood, and pieces like this serve a real purpose in clarifying what your security posture actually is versus what you think it is.
That gap between what you think you're protected from and what you're actually protected from is one of the more consistent themes in security discourse, and it applies well beyond DMARC.
One more tool worth noting, PISAGUARD, which scored only 9 points, but addresses a genuine concern. It's a browser-based tool designed to detect and warn you before you paste personal or sensitive information into an AI chat interface. Given how normalized it's becoming to ask AI assistants for help with everything from legal documents to medical questions, the surface area for inadvertent data exposure is growing rapidly. The fact that someone built this as an open source project suggests the concern is real, and the tooling ecosystem is starting to respond.